Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a little slow putting my headset on here. Hold on a second. I got one of the earpieces. There we go. One of the earpieces was cocked sideways. Hey, Tim and Savage, do you use like a sports headset when you're calling games out there in Sydney or elsewhere? Have you ever tried to put your sports headset on and you know the earpiece is all, you know, cockeyed? And so then you go to put it on and smack, it just smacks you on the side of the head. That's all right. I deserve to be smacked on the side of the head every now and then. And I think Tim would tell us, hey, even for a fine, upstanding citizen like him, hey, we all deserve to be smacked upside the head every now and then. Man, let's see. Where do we start this morning? Man, I tell you what, I was running around like crazy yesterday. You know, it's kids' sports season again and travel games and all that stuff, and then everything else that you do on a day-to-day basis. And then I stayed up too late last night. It's like, what the heck? Man, I stayed up too late, and I thought, man, I'm going to be dragging you-know-what here today. And then, like, man, the moment I start reading the news and listening to some of the news clips from last night, start doing a little bit of show prep, which I'm running severely behind on, of course, it's like, holy cow, have we got a show for you today. We are going to have a great lineup here all morning long. Not to mention we do our weekly legislative update with both the Democrats and the Republican leadership in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. I think Congressman Troy Downey is going to join us that hour as well. We should have a Senator Tim Sheehy join us at some point this morning. And, of course, it's Thursday. We got David Noble in the house here every Thursday. So even if I was dragging you-know-what, we got David Noble in here to really get things fired up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. So, man, a couple of things that I should have shared with you yesterday. I had to leave myself a special note. Man, we got to, you know, speaking of Senator Tim Sheehy, we got to share that audio that I never got to yesterday in the midst of all the news that we ended up talking about. Let's see. He was on Fox News talking about, you know, border security, and I think he referenced what SecDef Pete Hegseth has been up to on that front in particular. Oh, and then we got to get to Julian Epstein as well. And, well, let's throw Greg Gutfeld in there too. I never played the Greg Gutfeld audio soundbite about how the Democrats are still on a gender bender. So we got to get to that one. Let's see, where did we put? There's the Tim Sheehy audio. Okay, that's just three things I got to get to here in this 6 o'clock hour of the show. Speaking of Democrats being on a gender bender, did you see the Democrat protesters are back in Helena? I saw a photograph of the Star Wars bar out there on the steps of the Capitol. They're back. That's right. They were quiet. They went dark. They were hiding in bunkers with the masks on since the November elections. But they're back. The Sea Witch has her sea legs again. You know, they were stuck in the mud since November, but the Sea Witch has her sea legs again. The Democrat protesters are out there screeching all across America, including our state capital in Helena. Oh, it's good to see you guys again. We wondered what happened to you.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area today, highs will stay in the upper 20s to around 30. For tonight, with mostly cloudy skies, some snow showers possible. Light snow then likely on Friday with a few inches of accumulation. Low temperatures for tonight staying around at 10. On Friday with light snow, highs will range in the upper teens to low 20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Over 8,000 illegal migrants have now been taken into custody since the Trump border crackdown began. Tuesday night, the first flight, including those to be held at Guantanamo Bay, arrived in Cuba. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
There were 10 members of the transnational gang Tren de Aragua on this flight.
In Guatemala Wednesday, Secretary of State Marco Rubio spoke about that country's president agreeing to accept flights of deported migrants.
His willingness to accept not just nationals, but those from other nationalities as they seek to ultimately return to their own homelands is also important.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth spoke about the issue in El Paso earlier this week.
Border security is national security.
Hegseth was joined by border czar Tom Homan.
Less women and children be sex trafficked. Less non-suspected terrorists who are seeking the country. Less gotaways. Less people on terrorist watch lists. This is about national security.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, one of our listeners, Larry in Great Falls, shared a great update. A bill to stop taxing Social Security benefits in Montana is moving forward in the State House of Representatives. I've got the background, the details, and much more. Check that out, MontanaTalks.com. Plus, what about this tremendous transformation from our friend Tim M. Savage? You got to check out his story. That's Tim from Mondakistan for you Montana Talks listeners. Go to MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's like meth. Not even once, except for with the Montana Democrats in the legislature, not even one could do the right thing yesterday. Not even one could vote the right way. Man, look at what we had taking place on the same day. You had President Donald J. Trump surrounded by female athletes and some incredible American women as he took the bold step to protect. Well, it's not really that bold, frankly. He took an easy, common sense step that some people aren't bold enough to do to protect women's sports from these men pretending to be women. He did that. So he was doing that back in the White House in our nation's capital, and then back in our state capital in Helena, we had Republicans vote to protect women here in Montana as well. And apparently not one Democrat voted in support of it. I saw a tweet from I think it was a Jeff Essman in Billings, and he said, yeah, not one Democrat voted for this thing. And so, yep, there they go. There they go. They are still on a gender bender. By the way, speaking of the gender bender, that's the phrase that was used by Greg Gutfeld a couple of days ago. This was the soundbite that I wanted to share with you yesterday. He was, and it was other audio that I also planned to use at one point. So the DNC, the Democrats at the national level, they had their leadership elections, I think, this past weekend. And my goodness, I mean, it was just embarrassing to watch. I was embarrassed for them, even though I'm not one of them. I was embarrassed for them. They have all these rules like, well, we have to have two men. Well, we have to have two women. Well, and somebody's got to be gender non-whatever. Anyway, listen to it for yourself.
They're still on a bender over gender. Over the weekend, the DNC elected its new officers, and following with their woke pronoun rules, they ensured the appropriate number of he, she's, and neither, nors were elected. Roll it, Gladys.
Our rules specify that when we have a gender non-binary candidate or officer, the non-binary individual is counted as neither male nor female, and the remaining six offices must be gender balanced. With the results of the previous elections, our elected officers at this point are currently two male and two female. In order to be gender balanced, we must have had one male, one female, and one person of any gender.
Of any gender. That means you, Jamie. That was the opposite of clear. So how will this all work?
As we must elect a candidate of any gender as well as one male and one female vice chair. We will first ask members to elect a candidate of any gender on the first ballot. After a candidate is elected on the first ballot, we'll have one officer of the three. So we will know which position is filled of the one male, one female, and one vice chair of any gender. Our second ballot will also be for a candidate of any gender. Then our third ballot will be the third position that is remaining based on the two results.
Now, you know what's funny about this? Do you notice what's missing? Where is the sign language person?
Oh, he got him there. He got him there. Oh, my goodness. Are you also embarrassed on their behalf? I know we've got some Democrats listening. I know we've got some Democrats listening. Maybe you're in Butte. What do you think about what you just heard? This is your party, if you still cling to that party. Oh, my. The gender gymnastics is just like, good night. And apparently, like, it was just a whole bunch of woke garbage at the DNC. You know, they were doing all sorts of, we're on stolen land acknowledgments. Well, then get the heck out of here. If you think you're on stolen land, then leave. You know, or as Biff would have said, you know, on Back to the Future, why don't you make like a tree and move, right? Right? Thanks, Biff. Appreciate that. Okay, let's see. Right after Gutfeld shared that great commentary, who was it? I was like, this guy looks familiar. I was like, wait a minute, isn't that guy a Democrat? Well, why is this guy saying what he's saying? Do you guys remember Julian Epstein? He's, you know, frequently you'd see this guy, you know, giving, you know, he was the Democrat commentator, right, to give the Democrats a view of things on whatever the news story of the day was. I'm watching, I'm like, wait a minute, that's that Democrat guy, Julian Epstein, I think is his name. Because, man, he is just hammering the Democrat Party. Well, that's because he's a Democrat who is embarrassed of what his party has become and is still bitterly clinging to.
And that's all the Democratic Party is today.
Yeah.
It's virtue signaling. I mean, I felt when I was watching that I was watching a Star Trek convention.
Yeah.
I mean, Democrats and the left have this crazy cartoon floating around in their head that we live in an oppressive society and that they are the rescuers of this intersectional matrix of oppressed peoples who are on stolen land and whose, you know, highest calling is the exaltation of queers in Palestine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane, and it has birthed what is just nothing more than an identity politics on the left, which has, you know, produced things like DEI, which are race preferences. And, you know, it's extraordinary. The people who they are doing this on behalf of don't support it. You know, you can go back to the 1970s and 1980s, and you can poll the black and brown communities. They have been opposed to gender preferences, race preferences, identity preferences for 50 years. But, you know, this is very useful because it advances the interests of the elites on the left. This sort of virtue signaling enhances the social credit scores of folks on the left, but it is deeply out of touch. And what we saw over the weekend just gives us more evidence that the Democrats have learned nothing.
Yes.
And they're not going to change.
All right. Oh, that reminds me, Congresswoman Nancy Mace out of South Carolina. Oh, man, she offended the Democrats on Capitol Hill. She used the word tranny. And the ranking member Democrat was very offended by that. So she said, tranny, tranny, tranny. Of course, we got the audio for you right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
I once worked for an electric utility with a program that encouraged customers to get rid of their second refrigerators. The idea was a little complicated. Pay people to drop off their old refrigerators, it was thought, and the demand for electricity would fall as they were unplugged. That means fewer expensive electric plants were needed and kept the growth and rates in check. There's only one problem. The old refrigerators were replaced, not simply unplugged, by cooperating customers, and the impact on demand was minimal. Research finds the same thing for agricultural land use programs. Given the freedom to choose specific plots of land to set aside to lie fallow or to remain uncut for forest land, landowners choose plots that they weren't going to plow or cut anyway, essentially collecting payments to take actions they were already planning to do. The popularity of these kinds of options is thus easy to understand, but their objectives are unfulfilled. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Quote, I've long been very, very nervous about congestion at Reagan National, said Democratic Virginia Senator Tim Kaine. GOP North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer says he's seen construction and additions at Reagan National, but, quote, I realize there will never be another inch of runway. There are serious concerns after the recent air disaster at Reagan National. Aviation experts say flying in and out of the airport is one of the most complicated airfields in the country. The airport is known for notoriously short runways. The airport was designed to handle 14 million passengers annually, but that number number spiked to 25 million in 2023. There were efforts to close Reagan National when Dulles International Airport opened in 1962, but that never caught on. But like everything in Washington, the key to Reagan National is access. It's hard to find any major airport on the planet located so close to the levers of power. Lawmakers can easily jet in and jet out, and it's doubtful that lawmakers will ever change that about Reagan National, considering its access to the U.S. Capitol. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
All right, good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, here at CattleCon in San Antonio, Texas, Western states are once again well-represented and well-respected, and for good reason. That's because they bring important issues and leadership to the table. Montana Stock Growers Association President Leslie Robinson says that on the heels of last year's successful producer profitability initiative in Montana, MSGA is hoping to get others involved by bringing their vision to CattleCon this year.
One of the things that we brought to this convention was a directive to state specifically in the strategic plan, the NCBA strategic plan, to keep agriculture land in production. And that seems like a simple phrase, but I think that we need to, for sustainability of the beef industry and for food safety for our nation, is so important to keep agriculture land in production.
NCBA Executive Director of Government Affairs Tanner Beamer says that the strength of NCBA starts at the grassroots level with state affiliates.
It's huge. I spend time every single day in Washington meeting with lawmakers, their staff, regulators, secretaries, and never once do they ask what my opinion is. They always ask, what are your members saying about this particular issue? And that's why events like CattleCon are so crucially important. It allows for the entirety of the industry to get together and have those discussions and figure out how they want to chart a path forward. And once they do that, it becomes our job in Washington to go and implement that policy. But we really are an organization that relies upon the grassroots. If an issue comes up that is not in our policy book and has not been voted on by our members, we will not take a position on it.
And Leslie says, as they tackle important issues facing producers, record high cattle prices are providing some much needed optimism.
With the prices, it's great because we have just a little bit more breathing room. And with the new administration, I think we're going to see, I'm hoping we'll see some rollbacks on some of the regulations that were placed in the last administration. And I'm optimistic, and I sleep a lot better.
Stay with us. We'll have more right after this.
At AgWest, we know ag financing like you know everything from traffic jams to early morning meetings to pitching a product to a job well done. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. Let's chat at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Every year, humic loss makes it harder for crops to absorb applied nutrients. Resurge from Helena is a low-dust granule that delivers humic compounds to improve nutrient uptake and plant growth. The Resurge granule's superior hardness and uniformity withstands pneumatic applications, allowing for even distribution in your fertilizer and across the acre. Energize your soil and elevate your crops. Contact your Helena representative to learn more. Always follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Well, farm groups like Farm Bureau and Farmers Union warned members of the Senate Agriculture Committee yesterday that the industry is facing an increasingly uncertain policy environment with trade, immigration, tax policy, and even funding questions weighing on U.S. farmers, only adding to the many long-running economic challenges. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right. Random start here coming out of the Farm and Ranch Report. Actually, before I get to the random start, you guys, you heard the gender bender, the gender gymnastics that was done at the Democrat National committee meetings over the weekend when they chose it. Well, we need two this and we need two that and we need two that don't know what they are to be in our leadership here. You wonder why the Democrat Party is such a train wreck right now. I was just thinking, that guy, he actually kind of at the start of his gender gymnastics little screed there, he kind of had a little Southern accent. And I was kind of thinking, man, that guy could have been, you know, had his life gone in a different direction, he could have been a cattle auctioneer. All right, now, coming up right now, we can't tell you what this next one is, but we can't tell you whether it's a steer or a heifer, but we can tell you we got a bovine coming out here next. We're going to start our bidding right now. All right, hey, you tell me. I mean, could you imagine a cattle auctioneer, if a cattle auctioneer had to be woke and do non-gender-specific cattle auctions? Somebody's got, maybe that Billy Long, congressman out of Missouri, maybe he can do a little you know, woke cattle auctioneer parody song for us or something. That would just be hilarious. Yeah, no more bull sales. Bull sales are not allowed. I mean, that is gender specific. We can't have gender specific, bovine sales out there. Cannot do it. Guys, come on. You know, you got to get with the times. Get with the times. It's all about sustainability. All right, let's see. So the gender gymnastics, the gender bender that the Democrats are on. Oh, I got a great woke update. I've got like six great woke updates for David Noble. I know David's going to have some great woke updates for us. I want to go back to this USAID story and just all of the cockroaches that are scurrying right now as Elon Musk and Doge starts exposing what your taxpayer dollars are going for. There's even more crazy to add to the list. Jesse Waters last night said, Jamaican me crazy, man. They were funding this crazy woke LGBTQ stuff in Jamaica. That's right. Jamaican me crazy, man. We'll get to that here in a second. But the random start is I saw one of these Soros-allied groups that lobbies the legislature in Helena. It's like the Montana Budget and something, something, something center. They were promoting a bill to fund MMIW programs, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women programs. Yeah, sounds good. That's something I think that's bipartisan. We all support going after, in theory at least, going after the missing and murdered Indigenous women problem, right? Crisis. Here's though, I think what we really need to know. Where would this money go? Who would benefit from this money? Because much like we've seen with the USAID scandal, is this money actually going to go to groups that are going to help combat missing and murdered Indigenous women crisis? Or is it going to go to the very same Democrat community activist groups that are actually part of the problem and part of this illegal immigrant invasion? This ties in with the conversation we've been having here all week long here, which is the fact that, I mean, it ties in two conversations. Okay, what the USAID scandal is exposing is how the Democrats basically are taking your taxpayer dollars and funding all this woke stuff in all these other countries. And while they're not supporting our minors and others back here in America, right? And they're giving the money to their buddies. They're bribing reporters like Politico to go soft on the Biden regime, for example, right? A $26 million Politico, this liberal news outfit in Washington, D.C., got in USAID funding. I mean, good night. And so when I see that, okay, this Soros-aligned group that's lobbying the legislature in Helena is saying House Bill 83 aims to bolster the MMIP, the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons. See, it's Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons now. It's not MMIW. It's MMIP. Why? Because, well, the drug cartels don't just target Native American women. They target the men, too. So we can't just call it an MMIW crisis. We've got to call it an MMIP crisis now. So anyway, I see that this left-wing group is promoting this, and I'm like, that makes me wonder, who is going to get these resources? Who is going to get this money? Is it going to be, is this another slush fund for the Democrat Party activists and community organizers to go out and, oh, we care about MMIW. We care about MMIP. And they put the red hands on their faces with the face paint, and they march in downtown Billings. And then what do they do the rest of the week? They protest in support of the very criminal, illegal aliens that are partly responsible for missing and murdered indigenous women. I'm sorry, missing and murdered indigenous persons. I gotta say persons now. And so that's why I want to know where this. I'm not saying that's what's happening with this funding or not. It all may be on the up and up. There's federal money that's been a part of this too, and that'd be a good question. When a new Trump backed U.S. attorney gets into the U.S. attorney's office, I would love to find out how some of that money, DOJ money, has been spent and where that's going or has been going. And what I'm saying here is my concern is I worry, much like this USAID scandal, that resources meant to combat the MMIW or the MMIP problem are funding the very people and organizations that are part of the problem while they pretend to be fighting the problem, right? You know what I'm saying? Again, I'm not saying this is what's happening. The money's being misspent. I'm just saying when I see these left-wing Soros aligned groups promoting this, I see that as a major red flag. Yeah. Red handprints on your face or not, red flag.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, by the way, I just saw, so I did a story on our Montana Talks website. Let's see, where's the headline? I know I've got it in here. I haven't even organized my stack of stuff yet. Thanks to our producer, Caden, for getting a bunch of stuff printed up for us. He even hand-carried the stack in here. I've just been, continuing my show prep here, so I haven't organized it yet. Okay, here we go. Got a lot of great new headlines on our Montana Talks website. By the way, Caden is now manning a Montana Talks X account. What's the handle on that Montana Talks X account again, Caden? If you want to message that to me, I'll let our friends know so they can follow the Montana Talks X account. It includes the Montana Talks X account in conversations at Montana_talks. Okay, so x.com/ Montana_talks. Okay, so there we go. Thank you. But several headlines on the Montana Talks website right now. Here's a fun one, especially for yous Butte guys. Grand Marshal nominees needed for Butte's St. Patrick's Day parade. You know, we're just, what, a couple of, just a month out almost here. But the St. Patrick's Day parade, they're seeking nominations for the Grand Marshal for the St. Patrick's Day parade in Butte. Knee-jerk reaction, I want people to nominate Tommy O'Neill. Tommy O in Butte, what a great guy. He's on one of the music radio stations in one of our sister stations there in Butte. He's also the brother of Navy SEAL, Rob O'Neill, who killed Osama bin Laden, plays in a band. Just an all-around great Butte guy. So that'd be fun to see somebody like him, somebody a little younger as well, to be a Grand Marshal. I know it's great to pay respect to our elders, and we certainly need to do that. But man, it'd be fun to see somebody like Tommy O be the Grand Marshal for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. You can help out with a Montana trout study and not only reel in fish, but you can reel in some cash rewards as well. That's a story from Abby Casey in Bozeman that we've got on our Montana Talks website right now. Jesse James has the video. It's a viral video of a massive avalanche at Montana's Big Sky Resort. So that's on our website. And then I've got a couple of new ones. If you missed our conversation with the superintendent of schools in Whitehall, Montana, and the principal in Whitehall, check it out. Whitehall school officials make the right call on woke play. And we've got the audio embedded in there as well. But this was the story that I shared at facebook.com/Flint Report yesterday. Yes, Montana, it is Christian to deport illegal aliens. Now, I won't go into the full diatribe here right now, but, you know, you get these. Actually, David and I will talk about this in the 7 o'clock hour, I think, because he'll have a great take on this as well. But I posted a story that said, yeah, it is Christian to deport illegal aliens. And here's why. And I laid out the gist of it was I said, look, we have a compassionate legal immigration system that is designed to help our neighbors, to help migrants. We have a legal immigration system that does that. And then on top of that, American Christians support massive charities to help people in other countries out of our own free will. We are the most compassionate and benevolent nation on this planet. But these people, and I think most of them, they're anti-Christian, but they just want to poke Christians in the eye. And they'll say, well, how Christian of you to deport illegal aliens? And they'll say, well, what about when the Bible says, whatever you have done to the least of these? So they'll say that these criminal illegal aliens are the least of these. Well, again, without getting into the back and forth on that one in particular, let me just say this. Whatever you have done to the least of these, and this was my message to these open borders advocates, the lawlessness that you advocate for has led to 350,000 missing children, many of whom have likely ended up being sex trafficked, not to mention the rapists, murderers, and drug dealers that have targeted the most vulnerable in our society while this illegal invasion has occurred. And by the way, some of the same people who advocate for this lawlessness, why do you Christians think that we need to deport these illegal aliens? Oh, shouldn't you have compassion for these criminals? Aren't they the same people who, 3 years ago were saying, oh, you Christians should just shut up and wear a mask. You're supposed to follow the law. You're supposed to do whatever the government says. Well, actually, that's not right either. That's not biblical either. You Christians, you just need to do whatever the law says. And if the government is telling you to shut up and wear a mask, and if the government is telling you to shut up and shut the doors to your church, well, you just got to do whatever the government says. But now when it comes to criminal illegal aliens that are targeting innocent children, come on, who cares about the law? Who cares what the government says? That's why I think these people are just so stinking phony. They're the anti-Christian, anti-Jewish bigots oftentimes who are just trying to bash and divide Christians or Jews or just people of faith, right? They're just trying to divide Judeo-Christian America. Okay, one clip I wanted to play yesterday on the show, Montana's a Navy SEAL veteran, U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. He was on Fox News talking about border security. Here you go.
So let's bring in Republican Montana Senator Tim Sheehy, former Navy SEAL, combat veteran, and Purple Heart recipient. He's also a pilot. Senator, thank you so much for being here today. You know, one of the things that strikes us is this question of how the cartels are going to like having their business shut down at the southern border. And Lawrence Jones was there with Tom Homan and Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense. He asked them about the possibility of cartel violence given all this. Senator, $13 billion in drug cartel and smuggling, that business seems to be disappearing. What do you think is going to happen?
There's going to be confrontations. There's no question about that. This is a lifeline for these businesses, and that's what they are. They're businesses. We can call them cartels and call them criminals, but these are multinational, multi-billion-dollar organizations that if you put them on the stock exchange, they'd be some of the biggest companies in America. They make a lot of money. They're very sophisticated. They're not going to go down without a fight, and we owe it to the people of this country to combat this threat because it's killing thousands upon thousands of people, and it's about time we take decisive action.
fentanyl has become so central to this fight, Senator.
I mean, fentanyl has, but, you know, their most profitable product, Martha, is people.
Yeah,
moving
right.
people across our border. That's their best product because it'll pay it across 2 times, 10 times, 15 times. It'll pay to keep crossing again and again. And when it gets here, it continues to be a cash cow for them. So people and fentanyl are a huge commodity for them. They're going to keep pushing as much as they can. And President Trump has run on this issue for 8 years. His first time, his second time, and the American people spoke loud and clear. They want this problem solved. And thank God he's using every tool at his disposal, from tariffs to our strong military, to solve it.
All right. Thank you very much, Senator. We have to cut it short because we're about to hear from the president.
All right. There we go. Yeah. Montana Senator Tim Sheehy on Fox News with Martha McCallum. That was from a couple of days ago. He should be joining us for a little bit here later this morning, I think, live on the show as well. David Doble's in the house. Can't wait to chat with Dave. Actually, you know what? I'll get to this great commercial that I got to talk about. I'll get to that one later in the morning. We got David Noble here. We got the legislative update here in a couple of minutes. We're going to have so much woke to talk about here, David, that let's sneak in a woke update in the 6 o'clock hour. So Legos are anti-LGBTQ?
I just saw this one this morning. Apparently Legos are considered anti-LGBTQ, and the reason why is because all Lego pieces are identified as either male or female. And when you put the two Lego pieces together, you put the male piece next to the female piece, and actually that's considered mating the Lego pieces. And so the Democrats out there now, the Democrats are now considering Legos to be anti-LGBTQ because the male pieces can't connect to the male pieces and the female pieces can't connect to the female pieces. And, of course, there is no third piece, and, of course, we need 72 different, you know, Lego genders, too. How can you have Legos with only a male and a female piece? You need 72 genders or whatever.
Oh, my goodness. Did you hear the gender gymnastics audio that I was playing earlier, the DNC at their elections for their leadership?
Yes.
Like, I mean, my goodness. I mean, when even Julian Epstein is, like, slamming these guys, you know you got a problem.
You know, Tim and Billings will link you the Democrat Socialists of America convention audio if you ask him. That's hilarious. If you haven't, that's where they're telling each other, hey, you know, don't, you know, we got to have a safe space for everybody. And it's just hilarious. But no, these Democrat conventions, the Democrat Socialist conventions, they expose themselves. And all you have to do is just play a clip of them, play a clip of them, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just them in their own words.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's just, it's like, who was it? Oh, it was Julian Epstein, the Democrat himself, who said it looked like a Star Trek convention. And I'm a Star Wars guy, not a Star Trek guy. Sorry, Tim and Savage, I know you're a big Trekkie.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If Democrats, if this is their strategy, they want to double down on fighting against deporting known terrorists, murderers, known murderers, rapists, known cartel members, gang members, those that didn't respect our laws, borders, and sovereignty, and they want to make the case that they should stay, let them do it. If now that they've been exposed for hundreds of billions in reckless, woke, Green New Deal, trans-supporting, DEI-supporting, abortion-supporting, taxpayer dollars going to every country but our country, let them fight on that hill because they have doubled down on dumb, stupid, and an absolute tragedy.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
The election is officially over, but is your money still at risk? We still have a staggering $35 trillion in debt. Interest on this debt now costs more than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. On top of that, we're still feeling the consequences of the brutal inflation we saw under Biden and the global chaos ripping across the globe. That's why thousands of concerned Americans are turning to precious metals to help hedge against these threats. And they're reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, to make it happen. Goldco has over 6,000 five-star reviews and has helped people just like you purchase over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. Right now, they're offering a free gold and silver kit to help you diversify your savings. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather.
for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area today, highs will stay in the upper 20s to around 30. For tonight, with mostly cloudy skies, some snow showers possible. Light snow then likely on Friday with a few inches of accumulation. Low temperatures for tonight staying around 10. On Friday with light snow, highs will range in the upper teens to low 20s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, one of our listeners, Larry in Great Falls, shared a great update. A bill to stop taxing Social Security benefits in Montana is moving forward in the State House of Representatives. I've got the background, the details, and much more. Check that out, MontanaTalks.com. Plus, what about this tremendous transformation from our friend Tim N. Savage? You got to check out his story. That's Tim from Dakistan for you Montana Talks listeners. Go to MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
To quote an angel speaking to some shepherds on a hill in the Middle East about 2,000 years ago, it's our pleasure today to bring you good tidings of great joy. On this broadcast, we often talk about the great public policy debates taking place in our capital and courts, but our greatest joy is when those battles result in victory, and today is one of those days. For the past 6 years, we've been fighting for fairness in women's sports. When the NCAA, the U.S. Olympic Committee, Montana's universities, and even the Montana High School Association insisted that boys who think they're girls have a right to compete in women's sports, we pushed back. When those on the left pushed transgender ideology at every level, we responded with logic, scientific facts, and examples of women who lost opportunities and were even physically injured because of males pretending to be females invading their sports. It was as though the adults in the room had lost their voice. The politically correct narrative was repeated over and over and over again. And as Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler, once said, if you repeat a lie often enough, the people will eventually come to believe it. For me, the most poignant moment came at a conference in Washington, D.C., when Riley Gaines took the stage. As an NCAA champion swimmer, she was forced to swim against and share a locker room with a mediocre male athlete who was ranked 400th in the sport as a male and ranked near the top of the sport when he competed as a female. Riley stood on the stage and asked, "Where are the adults? Where are the dads? Where are those willing to protect female athletes from this invasion into our sports and our private changing facilities? Will no one stand up for us?" Today, I'm happy to report that the adults in the room have finally woken up and the tide is turning on the transgender issue. And it's all because ordinary people finally found their voice and said, enough is enough. A point driven home by President Trump in a series of executive orders signed over the past 2 weeks. Under his direction, the federal government will now recognize only two sexes, male and female. No more X designator as a third choice for sex on U.S. passports. That's good news. Despite a liberal judge's order, Montana should stand strong and refuse to allow gender-confused people to retroactively change the sex on their birth certificates or place a non-binary X designator on their driver's licenses. The word sex should always refer to biological sex, and as the president said, there are only two, male and female, and they don't change. Regarding women's sports, Montana enacted a law 4 years ago that banned male athletes from competing on female sports teams. That law was challenged and thrown out on a technicality without ever addressing the question of transgenders competing against women. I'm happy to report that bill is back and yesterday took a huge leap forward when it passed a critical House vote by 58-42. All Republicans voting yes, all Democrats voting no. Ironically, the vote came on the same day that President Trump signed another executive order banning males from competing in female sports nationwide. Both of these actions came on Women's Sports Day and underscores the sea change we're witnessing as logic and reason begin to prevail. The president also promised to take the fight to the next tax level as he ordered the Secretary of State to check all passports and visa applications to ensure that males do not compete against females in the upcoming Olympic Games in Los Angeles, underscoring the fact that birth certificates, driver's licenses, passports, and other official documents should continue to reflect biological sex as the standard. This is a great day for all Americans as the trend on this issue turns back toward logic, truth, reason, and reality. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslaffy reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, David Noble is in the house, as you just heard, coming up in the 7 o'clock. We're going to have some fun in the 7 o'clock hour. Man, I just asked ChatGPT and Grok AI platforms, hey, write me a gender-neutral cattle auctioneer monologue. We are rolling laughing already. Wait for it.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
I once worked for an electric utility with a program that encouraged customers to get rid of their second refrigerators. The idea was a little complicated. Pay people to drop off their old refrigerators, it was thought, and the demand for electricity would fall as they were unplugged. That means fewer expensive electric plants were needed and kept the growth and rates in check. There's only one problem. The old refrigerators were replaced, not simply unplugged, by cooperating customers, and the impact on demand was minimal. Research finds the same thing for agricultural land use programs. Given the freedom to choose specific plots of land to set aside to lie fallow or to remain uncut for forest land, landowners choose plots that they weren't going to plow or cut anyway, essentially collecting payments to take actions they were already planning to do. The popularity of these kinds of options is less easy to understand, but their objectives are unfulfilled. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.